Blog Talk Radio.
And this morning, we have a friend. He was with us in our Easter celebration, and he's here with us this morning. He has product in the vestibule immediately following service. But I would like you to give a good West Angeles welcome to none other than, all the way from Nashville, Tennessee, Pastor Wes Morgan.
God bless you. Any worshipers in the building today? Touch your neighbor and say, I choose to worship. Hallelujah. For so long, I was silent. And for so long, I did not have a song of praise. Depression filled my days, and clouds blocked my way. But there was a voice speaking to me, waking the passion so quiet in me. It was so still in me, but I made up my mind, I choose to worship. I had to make up in my mind, I had too much good stuff inside of me, just give up. I just can't give up. No. I choose to worship you, Lord. Yes, I do. Anybody feel that way this morning? Lift up those hands and just tell him, I want the world to know my mind is made up. Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. And is that your voice? Come on, say it. I just can't give up. I don't know what you might be going through this morning, but you got to make up in your mind. I choose the words of you, Lord. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Lord, my mind is so made up. Anybody in here that's ever been an addict before, but I just celebrated 11 years clean from crack cocaine. I know what it's like to be trying to be something that you just can't be. I didn't ask for this addiction. I was born into this sinful nature, but somehow I needed God to turn it around for me. And I remember the last time I was in jail, I said, God, if you get me out of this situation, I promise I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. I went home and moved in with my mom and dad because old drug dealers and stuff would ride by the house to catch me outside. Late over in the midnight hour, I'd get up and I would have the taste of crack cocaine in my mouth. I could just taste it. I was craving it. So I'd start walking the floor. Because my mama told me you got to choose to worship. After you choose and make the choice, then the feeling will come. But you can't wait on the feeling. You got to be able to worship him when you don't feel nothing. When you can't trace him, you got to keep on trusting him. I don't know who I'm talking to in here today, but I'm a living witness. If you keep on blessing his name in spite of what you're going through, I'm a living witness that he'll bring you out. Yes, he will. He's healing me. If you know that he's healing you right now, lift up those hands and just tell him, I'm going to worship.
I'm going to worship.
I got a made of mind. Yes, I do. See, you can't appreciate freedom unless you've ever been bound before. That's why God is doing some things for some people that we discarded because we looked at what they were going through and what they were doing. But we didn't realize that God was raising them up. Because when you've been through hell and high water, when you come back to Jesus, you don't need red carpets rolled out for you. Because you're just glad to be here. Ain't everybody like Beyonce. We didn't just wake up like this. I'm gonna work. Ooh, yeah. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. For it's morning by I love this right here. And all I have needed, thy hands, they have provided. And great is thy faithfulness. Oh, great. I don't know about you, honey, but I feel like looking back over my life sometimes and see if he's brought me from there. Look at somebody and say, I don't believe he left me here, y'all. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I choose to worship. In spite of anything and everything that's going on, I choose to worship. Hallelujah. Great is his faithfulness. Hallelujah. How many of you out there choose to worship? Worship through your situation. Worship through your circumstance. Worship through anything that could possibly be trying to overtake you. I choose to worship despite of everything that may be going on around me. Hallelujah. I choose to worship. Hallelujah. What a powerful and an awesome song. God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to MCI Blog Talk Radio. This is Lady T. This is your weekly word workout. Hallelujah. I am so excited to be back with you on this wonderful Wednesday. I tell you, we've been getting some good words so far. I hope you guys have been tuning in. We had Thurman on yesterday, my husband, Bishop Butler. Mighty, mighty word on Tuesday. Hallelujah. Then, you know, we have Friday coming up. And I tell you, that's going to be the amazing Pastor McNeil, who's going to be on there Friday 6 at 6 on Friday night. And Sunday, I'm telling you, we still, you know, have this COVID going on, so a lot of us are not going out. Tune in to MCI Blog Talk Radio, same phone number, hallelujah, and you will hear the powerful woman of God, Carolyn McNeil, Apostle Carolyn McNeil. She's on Sundays, hallelujah. I'm telling you, this word is coming all out of this radio. I'm just what you need. Just tune in, I'm telling you, and get a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. I welcome all you saints. Thank you for tuning in with us today. It's a great day. I tell you, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I hope you will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. I tell you, God has a word today, just a little word of encouragement. And if you would turn your Bibles, turn with your Bibles with me to, Genesis chapter 28, and we will start at verse 10. We're going to go from verse 10 down to verse 22. Hallelujah. I tell you, I'm excited about this word. I'm excited about what God is doing and how he's moving and what he's doing in the ministry today. I'm telling you, people of God, this is a time such as this that we need to really get into the word of God. We need to understand the character of God. We need to build our relationship with God. Time out for all this religion and all of that. We need a relationship. Hallelujah. We need God to do something. We need him to show us. We need him to move on certain situations. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, this is how you get it. Come on, get some word so that you can start, you know, just building your faith, iron sharpening iron. Hallelujah. If you have, if you need prayer, and or either you have a topic that you want me to talk about in particular, send me an email. It's www.workout.ladyt@gmail.com. So again, that's www.workout.ladyt@gmail.com. www.workout.ladyt@gmail.com. Hey, if you need prayer, send that prayer request into that email. If you have something that you want me to talk about in particular, send it on to that email. If you just want to say hi, send it through to that email. I will check it all the time to see what's coming in, and then we can just kind of move forward from that point. But if you guys have, if you've actually turned to Genesis 28, again, we're starting at verse 10, and we're going to read through verse 22. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he laid down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Verse 13 says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am Lord, God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, says verse 15, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the place, the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and pour oil on top of it. Verse 19 says, and he called the name of that place Bethel, before the name of that city had been Luz previously. Verse 20 goes to say, then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this place, in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so I could come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth unto you. Please bow our head just for a little prayer. Gracious God and eternal Father, it is us, your humble servants, coming before your holy, righteous name again, Father. God, before we ask you anything, we want to take the time to say thank you for everything. We thank you for being good. We thank you for being kind, and we thank you for your grace and your mercy. I pray that you would indeed hide me behind your cross, that the people may hear all of you and none of me. Father God, no fears, no anxiety, and no nerves. I pray now that you help me preach to the end that sinners are saved and lives are changed and the body of Christ is edified. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if I could draw a subject from this cluster of scripture, I would take it up to verse 12. Verse 12 says, then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. From that little cluster of scripture there, I would, if I could draw a subject, it would be the stairway to heaven. Hallelujah, God. The stairway to heaven. Now, let me just give you a little background on this story about Jacob. Jacob was the brother of Esau. They were twins. And Jacob was the son of Rebekah and Isaac. Jacob was a trickster. And what Jacob done is that his brother Esau was in line to inherit the blessing because he was the older brother. So Jacob actually tricked Esau out of his birthright. Esau was hungry. He gave some food. Say, hey, look, dude, if you give me this birthright, then I'll give you that. And so Esau did just that. So now Jacob has Esau's birthright. So he went on to also trick his father, he and his mother. Isaac had sent Esau out to get some food, to get some meat or whatever it is that his father wanted. Now, while Isaac was gone, Jacob came in. His mother had cut the lamb and put all the hair all over Jacob so that he could feel like Esau because Isaac was blind and so he could receive the blessing. So to make it short, so Jacob went in before Isaac, pretended to be Esau, and Isaac blessed him. So now not only do he have Esau's birthright, he also has the blessing as the firstborn. So when all of this came to fruition, Esau was angry. And he said, once his father passes and he mourns his father Isaac, he is going to come after Jacob and he's going to get him. So Jacob's mother set it up where he could go to this place called Haran, where her brother is. Jabin, where her brother is, and he could stay there for safety. So this is where we are in the story. And verse 10 tells us, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. Now, again, he went to Haran because he was running from his older brother Esau, in which he had actually stole from him. So he came to a certain place. This is verse 11. It tells us he came to a certain place. And he stayed there all night because the sun had set. Now, keep in mind, Jacob was running. So the last thing he wanted to do was stop. It's not like he was going 700 miles. This was only like 60 or 70 miles from where he was standing in Beersheba. So it's not like he was intentionally trying to have to stop somewhere because he was running for his life. But God had him to come to this certain place. And when he got to this certain place, the sun was setting, so it was becoming nightfall. So he ended up staying there. He ended up staying there and sleeping there. See, what happens is that even though you're on a run or you think that you're supposed to be headed in one direction, God will let you see exactly where you need to go. He will direct your path. Now, you may think that you're supposed to go this place for safety, but God may lead you in a totally another direction. Now, you have to understand, when God puts you or takes you to a place or puts you in a place, you can't move. What happened is that Jacob stayed right there. And the King James Version said he tarried, which means that he waited all night. He stayed in that certain place. See, he didn't end up in that place coincidental. He didn't end up in that place by mistake. The Bible says, he came to a certain place, which means that place was purposed. It was meant for him to end up at that place. People of God, you have to understand, when God takes you somewhere and give you a vision, you have to stay right there. You can't move until God tells you to move. If God don't move, don't you move. See, Jacob stayed all night. He didn't move because he was in a place where he didn't even realize that it was a place of God. It was a place of safety. It was a place to show him exactly what he needed to see. See, he thought that he would end up in Haran with his uncle, and that's where his safety lied. But no, God got him to a certain place. See, people of God, what you have to understand is that sometimes God will arrange the conditions of your life so you have to stop. So you have to be still. Because sometimes revelation, God can't give you revelation of what he's doing or give you a vision of what he's doing if you're always on the move or if you're running or if you're scared or if something is going on. You have to be still. So people of God, understand that sometimes God will put you in a place where you're just still, where you don't move. You may not even understand, how did I even end up here? Why am I here? You know, and you have to understand that God put you in that place so that he can speak to you. The Bible goes on to say, and he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And see, when he got tired, as he stood at that place, as he tarried, as he waited, as he stayed there all night, he got tired. So he took a stone and he rested in God. Hallelujah. He took a stone. He took a brick. Hallelujah. And made it his pillow. And he went to sleep. Hallelujah. He rested in God. Verse 12 tells us, when he went to sleep, then he dreamed. It says, then he dreamed. See, people of God, we have to understand that because he waited, because he was still, because he positioned himself, God showed him exactly what he needed him to see. Hallelujah. See, God showed him. It says he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and it top reached the heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. See, God will get you in a place where you're still, and he'll start showing you the secrets of spirituality, the secrets of the spirit. He will show you the portals of heaven. Hallelujah. He showed him the angels ascending and descending from heaven. See, in order to see what God has for you to see, in order to do what God has for you to do, at some point, you have to be still. You have to wait. See, God will reveal some things to you if you wait. God will loose some things for you if you wait. He will orchestrate some things in your life if you wait. He will move some things out of your life if you wait. Psalms 27 says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, he dreamed of the angels. They were ascending and descending. I found that very interesting. Notice what they are doing. The angels are not descending and ascending. The Bible says they are ascending and descending. That's their job. People of God. Ha, Rabusha. That's their job. Their job is to receive from heaven and bring it down to earth, bring it to us. Then they receive from us and take it back up to heaven. Receive from heaven, bring it down to us. Take it back up to heaven, take it from us and take it back up to heaven. People of God, the problem that I have is that we don't keep the angels ascending and descending because we don't have a relationship with God. We're so busy dealing with religion and things that are religious that we don't have a relationship. We're not asking for things. We're not putting things in petition. We're not talking to God. We're not giving the angels anything to take back up to God. Hallelujah. It's amazing because I tell you, if I had a job and I wasn't doing my job, I wouldn't have the job. But God loves us so much and he knows, even the angels said, who are those things that you're so mindful of? Hallelujah. They know that we're just all out of pocket. But yet it's still, they're still ascending and descending, ascending, waiting for us to give them something to take back up to God. Hallelujah. And God is going to keep sending it down to us, keep sending it down to us. Sometimes we don't even receive it because guess what? We're not still. We're not waiting. Hallelujah. But the angels are ascending and descending. The Bible in Hebrews 1:14, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who would inherit salvation? It's their job. Hallelujah. It's their job to be servants unto us, to take our desires, our prayers back up to heaven and bring the blessings for heaven down to us. Hallelujah. But people of God, we're not using them. We're not using the angels to the extent of what we're supposed to use them for. Hallelujah. We're not building a relationship with God to the point that we're speaking to him. He is speaking through us. Hallelujah. The angels are ascending, but they're taking a while to descend because we're not giving them anything to take back to God. We have to understand and build our relationship and understand what the angels are here for, what the ascending and descending mean, and what we need to send back up and what we need to receive from God. Hallelujah. Verse 13 said, and behold, the Lord stood above it. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, people of God, that little verse there just awakens my Holy Ghost imagination, because when they said God stood, hallelujah, when I see God standing, I just see his presence taking over the entire atmosphere. Hallelujah. When God stands, he's above all things. He's above all your problems, all your issues, all your circumstances. You can never go higher than him. When he stands, his presence takes over anything that's in the atmosphere of where he is. Hallelujah. So nothing that's not of him cannot survive. Hallelujah. So when he's standing, understand he's above anything that you're going through. He's above any sickness that you may be handling or dealing with. He's above any circumstance that may be going on in your life. God is the beginning and he's the end. It's nothing too hard or too big for God. Hallelujah. Because when he stands, his presence takes over the entire atmosphere because he is the atmosphere. Hallelujah. So just imagine God standing up for your situation. He's standing up for your circumstances. He's standing up for your children. He's standing up for your marriage. He's standing up for the addiction. He's standing up for anything that you're going through. He said, I am God. He stood. Hallelujah. Now we have to understand. We have to understand that God stands above all things. He stands above all situations. We get so caught up in our own situations and circumstances and not understanding that God said if we cast our cares upon him because he cares for us, then he'll give us peace. Hallelujah. But we want to take care of these things ourselves, knowing that we got a God that stands above all of these things, stands above anything that you could possibly be going through, stands above a depression, stands above stress, stands above illusions, delusions, stands above mindcraft, it stands above witchcraft, it stands above anything that could possibly be coming against you. That's why no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Hallelujah. Because God stands for us. Hallelujah. Great is he that's within me. The God that's in me when it stands, hallelujah, takes up an atmosphere. Everything that's not of him must go. Hallelujah. I tell you, God is good and he is. He's standing. He's standing for your situation, standing for your circumstance. He's standing for you. Again, verse 13 says, and behold, the Lord stood above it. Ha, Rabusha. He said, stood above it. I'm sorry, people of God. I'm trying to move past that. He said, stood above it. I tell you, we have some things that's going on there that seems like it's bigger than we could ever even imagine. It says here, the Lord stood above it. He stood above anything that you could possibly think that he can't handle. God said, I have it all. It's nothing new under the sun. It's nothing that I can't handle. I am the same God. The same God today, yesterday, and forever. Hallelujah. The Lord stood above it. People of God, we got to stop taking on things our stuff and dealing with things our stuff. God stands above anything that you could possibly think or anything you possibly have going on. God said he stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And the land on which you lie, I will give you and your descendant. He said, like the youngster said, this is all you. Hallelujah, God. God told Jacob, he said, this is all for you. He said, this is for you and your children's children, your children, your children's children, your children's children's children. Hallelujah, your children's 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 children. All of you said descendants, you get the picture. God is saying he has something in store for you. Hallelujah. All that comes behind you, all that comes before you, all that comes after you. He said he has something set up for the entire generation. He said those that come after you, then those that come after them. Hallelujah. He said the land on which you lie, I would give you and your descendants. We are the descendants. Hallelujah. We have a blessing that we have to claim, and we have to understand that it's ours. You need to tell your child tonight, God has a blessing in store for them and their children's children, and anyone that's attached to them. Let them know that they are connected to the beginning of a covenant until the end. Hallelujah. And there is no end, because God said he's the beginning and the end. This thing will go on as long as God goes on. Hallelujah. He is the Lord thy God and changes not. So he won't change because it's no longer in the era of Jacob. He makes promises, and his promises and his word shall not come back unto him void. So we are part of that promise. Hallelujah. You need to put your dancing shoes on. I'm not talking about putting your elbows up and doing your praise. Sometimes you got to do a slow worship dance. Hallelujah. Just because you got to choose to worship him. You got to choose to slow dance with him. You got to choose to be in his presence just because of the promises that he made back when and is still falling upon us now. Hallelujah, God. Thank you for the stairway to heaven. Hallelujah. God said, I am God and I change not. Hallelujah. We're walking in the promises and the blessings of God that went way before us. Our fathers, 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 fathers. Hallelujah. And the blessing is still in the land. He is a covenant with us from the beginning to the end. Hallelujah. And once we grab hold of that, understand who we are, understand what we possess, understand the power in which we hold, understand the promises that was made to us from long ago. If we could get that thing in our heart and understand, hallelujah. We as Christians, we as children of God, we are the children of Zion, saints of God, we have to get an understanding that we were made promises. And our God is a God that cannot, shall not, and will not lie. He said, this land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Hallelujah. It don't stop with us. It goes to our children's children, all of that will receive Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He goes on to say in 14, all your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. Man, that would be so many of us. It's so many of us. your seed will multiply. The blessing will start with you, and then it trickles down to those around you, those attached to you, those that support you, those that receive you. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. It's not just a total family. It's like anyone that's connected, hallelujah, to you, that seed is planted, hallelujah, and they are part of the blessing. They are part of the promise, hallelujah. It's just so bigger than what we can even imagine. Hallelujah. You got to get this thing in your heart and understand who you are, understand whose you are, understand what was told and foresaid in your life. He said, I knew you before you even formed in your mother's womb. He knew that we was going to be a part of the promises. He knew that we was going to be able to receive what he had promised long time ago. He knew that we could be blessed. He knew that we would be the things in which he had called us to be. He knew our purpose. Hallelujah. And all of this goes with who we are. It goes on to say in verse 14, it says, and in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It says all the family, not all your family. See, he didn't specify that it would just be a family affair. It says anybody that's attached. Hallelujah. Anybody that's receiving me as Christ, anybody that's attached to the promises, attached to what and who I am, what God has said, who God is. Hallelujah. See, we are the head and not the tail. People of God, we're the lenders, not the borrowers. We should have the businesses, the cars, houses, not the world. We're the blessed ones. Hallelujah. The world should be coming to us, not the church going to the world. Hallelujah. We have to understand. We have to take back what's ours. We have to stand firm in Christ. We have to understand and know what God is saying. See, that's why it's so important to have a relationship with God. Because when you have a relationship with God, he starts to speak to you. This word becomes your life. It becomes a guide to who you are, what the expectations are, what you to expect. Hallelujah. We can't be just hearers of the word. We got to be doers because there's promises inside of this word that pertains to us. I want everything that God has for me. Hallelujah. Every anointing, every blessing, every gift. Hallelujah. And I would diligently seek him for what he has. It's so many promises. There's so many things that God has laid the foundation for us. But we don't know how to go get it. We don't know how to believe in it. We don't know how to understand it and take it. Hallelujah. He said, and in you and your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. There's no reason why we're not blessed. Hallelujah. God, I thank you for the blessing. It gives you an understanding on who you are. It gives you an understanding on why God is so good and why you're so blessed and what they say highly favored. Because of his promises. It's not that you deserve it. It's not that you did anything to earn it. It's because of the promises of God. Hallelujah, God. Verse 15 says, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. That's an awesome thing right there. See, listen, God is saying that. It doesn't matter what position you are in. It doesn't matter what road you've chosen. It doesn't matter how you're living. Hallelujah. He said, I will keep you wherever you go. I don't care if you go into the crack house. Hallelujah. I don't care if you go into the alcohol house. I don't care if you go into the whore house. He said, I will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land. Hallelujah. Jacob, see, we have to understand who God is speaking this to. I am, listen, he said he's still with us from generations to generations. Jacob deceived his brother out of his birthright. He deceived his father for a blessing. But that didn't change God's position towards him or with him. See, that's how he ended up back at Bethel, because God had to get him to a place where he could be still. And he could speak to him, because Jacob had been going through so much, doing so much, he had just a trickster, just always into something. He was never still enough for God to speak to him or to just use him or whatever it is that he needed for Jacob to know. He was never still. That's how Jacob ended up at Bethel. It was not coincidental. It was not because he was on his way to Haran. It's because God lighted on that place. God sent him to that certain place. Hallelujah. Because God needed him to be still. He needed to hear from God. He needed to receive the blessings of God. Hallelujah. We have to understand, people of God, we leave God from where God is at. We leave from where God is at. Hear me, people of God. But God stay where we're at. I'm going to say that one more time. I said, we leave from where God is at. We'll leave in a minute. Hallelujah. Do whatever we want to do, so on and so forth. We'll leave from where God is at, because we know God ain't there. But God stay where we're at. Now, you let me know when you figure that one out. Hallelujah. Because God said, I'll never leave nor forsake you. But yet and still, we go into areas to leave God, but he'll never, ever leave us. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he has some things for us. He doesn't care where you've been, what you've been through. Oh, God, I don't did this, I don't did that, so I know I'm not even worthy of you to even be in your presence. That is not God. Come as you are. He's not talking about your clothes. He's talking about whatever else that you're wearing. Hallelujah. Come with your addictions. Come with your stress. Come with your depression. Come with your lunatic spirit. Come with anything that you have on you. Hallelujah. Because you can't get good to come to God. You got to come to God. Get good. Hallelujah. Verse 16 is going to say, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. This is Jacob awoke. He awoke from this place. Now, how did he know the Lord was in that place? I'm glad you asked. He knew because he awoke. Ha, Abusha. He knew because he woke up. See, you can miss a lot of things when you're asleep. But when you wake up out of your position, when you wake up out of your sin, when you wake up out of your disobedience, when you wake up out of your situation, when you wake up out of religion into relationship, hallelujah, when you wake up out of unrighteousness into righteousness, most of us are asleep and stuck until we wake up, and we never know where God is. Hallelujah. When we wake up is when we find him. Hallelujah. We have to understand that we have to wake up in order to see God. We have to wake up in order to get God. We have to wake up in order to know God. Hallelujah. As long as we're still sleeping, then God, we will never find out what God has for us. We'll never see God. We'll never understand God. We'll never know God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:14 says, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Hallelujah. Jacob goes on to say, surely the Lord is in this place. Oh, God. And I did not know it. Wow. Champions, that's a terrible state to be in. When God is present and you don't recognize it. When God is right there in the midst of your whole situation and you don't recognize. When God is moving and you don't take part. When God is blessing and he skipped you. When God is healing and you didn't get healed. When God is speaking and you can't hear him. when God is delivering, but you're still bound. See, that's what happens when God is present and you don't know it. You miss out what he has for you because his presence there was bringing something. Hallelujah. When the presence of God is there, I mean, its portals is open. Anything that you need from God, you can ask for it right then and there. He's right there to give it to you. If you need healing, all you have to do is ask for it. All you have to do is realize that he's there. All you have to do is feel and understand and know his presence. Hallelujah. Jacob said, surely the Lord is here. And I did not know it. How do we not know when the presence of God is right there? When the presence of God is right in the midst of us. Hallelujah. We have our eyes wide shut. Hallelujah. Veil over our eyes and over our hearts. Nothing is able to, we can't see in, we can't see out at all because we're just covered. We have the deaf and dumb spirit on us. We just don't understand. We don't get it. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, people of God, don't miss your visitation because you don't know the presence of God. Hallelujah. That's one of the worst things you can miss. Let me tell you about this. We know the story of the man that was at the pool for 38 years. Missing the presence of God. Missing the presence of God to the point that Jesus said, do you want to be whole? Hallelujah. Do you want to be in my presence? Do you want to know who I am? Do you want to feel what I can do? Do you want to understand the power in which I've given you? Do you want to know who you are? Hallelujah. Don't be caught up to the point that you cannot even understand, feel, or realize when you're in the presence of God. Verse 17 says, and he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. The Bible says he was afraid. He was right in the presence of God and did not know it. You might not know how you get there. You might not even know how you even gonna get there. Hallelujah. You may stumble. You may trip. Look, you may crawl. You may even scoot. I don't care. However you get there, just make sure you get into his presence. It's an awesome place to be, champions, to be in the presence of God. Now, keep in mind, it ain't about the place that makes it awesome. It's God in the place that makes it awesome. I mean, you could be in a church, 20,000 congregation, hanging chandeliers, gold offering plate. But if God is not there, it's nothing awesome about it. Hallelujah. But you can be in a chicken coop. And if God is there, it's none other than the house of God and the gate or stairway of heaven is that way. Hallelujah. Let me take it, Psalms 24:7. Lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Hallelujah. I'm telling you now, all you got to do is invite him in, and he'll come right in. Expect God's presence when you're in any situation, in any place. When you wake up in the morning, you put your feet down, expect God's presence. When you say, Lord, I thank you, expect God's presence. Hallelujah. God will definitely show his presence unto you, but you have to be able to recognize. You have to be able to recognize the place that you're in and that wherever you are, that the presence of God is there. Hallelujah. You don't want to be anywhere, people of God, where God is not. Hallelujah. Verse 18 says, then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. See, the things you go through and life may take you to a place where it feels like you're laying your head on a stone. Hallelujah. See, David rose early that morning and took the stone that he had put his head on. So he slept on that stone all night long. And people of God, like you laying, you know, It may feel like sometimes that you land on a piece of stone, your head, everything that's going on, but God would turn that stone into a pillow. Hallelujah. See, you go through things, you look for rest, you can't find peace, it's chaos, it's stuff going on all around you, and you just don't know how to handle it. It's like you toss and you turn. I mean, when you're sleeping, all you're thinking about is all the stuff that's going on. But God, if you understand the presence of God, if you understand being in the place of God, hallelujah, every time you lay your head down, he would turn that stone into a pillow. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:24, when thou layest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down and sleep shall be sweet. Hallelujah. God is looking to give you sweet sleep. He's looking to give you rest. I don't care what you're laying your head on. I don't care how heavy your burdens are. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care how hard it seems to get. I don't care if you seem like you can't make it. You can't take another step. Things is overwhelming you. You can't move again. God said, I will give you sweet sleep. See, laying on that brick or stone, you would have thought that David would have had, I keep calling him David. I got David on my spirit. Jacob would have had a nightmare. But God turned it into a pillow. He turned the stone into a pillow for David, and he gave him a dream. Hallelujah. You would think that the situation that David was in, the place that he was in this place, he didn't know where he was at. He just had these stones around him. You know, he just ended up here, it was getting dark. He had to rest. He had no idea that he was in the presence of God. Hallelujah. When he laid down, and could you imagine putting your, taking some stones and putting them together and laying your head on stones as a pillow? And they said he slept. He slept so good that God gave him a dream. God turned that pillow, hallelujah, into a dream, that stone into a pillow. He turned the nightmare that he should have had into a dream. People of God, God would turn that situation, hallelujah, into nothing. God would turn that situation that you're pondering on, that thing that won't let you sleep at night, he'll turn it into a dream. He'll make sure that you get sweet sleep. Hallelujah. People of God, you have to understand, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who have called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make ye perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. See, people of God, you got to go through something before God settles you, before God gives you and shows you exactly what he has for you. See, what you're going through after you've suffered for a while, see, that suffering is what's going to build you. The suffering is what's going to make you. See, the suffering is what's going to cause you to purpose and to your destiny. You have to understand that God will have you in a situation that seems like, oh, my God, what's going on? But he's having you to suffer just a while so he can make you, he can mold you, he can break you, he can make you into who he has called you to be. Hallelujah. And verse 19 said, and he called the name of this place Bethel, but the name of the city had been Luz previously. Hallelujah. I tell you, the name of the place changed because God was there. When God come into a place or when God do something, it's some changes that's going to be made. Hallelujah. It's going to be changes made on your spirit. Changes made on your thoughts. Changes made on your mind. Changes made in your heart. Hallelujah. That place became the place of God. Hallelujah. Verse 20 goes on to say, I'm running out of time. I'm sorry, people of God. Verse 20 goes on to say, then he made a vow saying, if God would be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Hallelujah. Verse 20, he made a vow to God. People of God, you know the Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break a vow. Hallelujah. So if you want to make a vow to God, hallelujah, it's best that you go ahead and keep it or just don't make it at all. But he made a vow to God saying, look, if you accept me the way that I am, all the mess that I done been through, all the problems that I done caused, all the lies that I done destroyed, all the evil that I've done, all the lies that I've told, he said, if you still love me in spite of all of that, hallelujah. If you still want to, if you still can make sure that I'm eating every day and make sure I'm good, if you can even send me back, and 20 says here, it says that, and so that he could come back to his father's house. He said, look, God, if you could just don't even worry about what I've done or who I've hurt or, you know, what lives I've altered. Hallelujah. If you could take me for who I am and what I've done. See, some of us, we think that we've done something that is so bad that God is saying you're not worthy. That's not the God. God said it is not God's will that any man should perish. Hallelujah. You see, people of God, we have to understand that we don't done some things that nobody stood by us. But God stood with you. And God has not left. God is still here. Jacob said, if you restore my favor with man and God, don't worry about what has happened or what's going on. God will make it so that you can come back home in peace. You can go back to your church in peace. You can go back to your life in peace. See, David said, all I want you, God, if you can accept me for everything I've done, you still keep me. You're making sure I eat. You make sure I can get home to my family in peace because you know what's going on. Then you will be my God. See, he's saying, God, if you ain't judging me, if you ain't looking at my past or what I've been through, if you ain't considering all the things that has happened in my life, hallelujah, then I know you love me, and you will be my God. People, God is not, he sent his son for sin. He ain't coming back to that no more. He's coming back for believers. God is not studying what we've done or what we're caught up in. I'm not going to say not studying because he is. Don't get me wrong. Don't twist those words. What I'm saying is that it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter the road that you have chosen. God has made some promises unto us, and he's a God that cannot and shall not lie. God said, I am still with you. I will never leave you until my word in which I've spoken is complete. Hallelujah. And verse 22 said, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. So with the last verse, so whatever you have set up, wherever you have set up your pillar, wherever you feel that, you know, you're being fed from God or God is in the place and God is doing some things, Jacob is saying, this is your house, God. I will surely bless it with 10%. Champions, we get a lot of God's people that are not giving back to what's being poured into them. God has said, if you want to receive a blessing, be a blessing. Hallelujah. People of God, I thank you so much. I tell you, my time is up. This word was so good. It was so much more meat. But I tell you, I thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We bless your name because you're worthy. We thank you for the word that you have brought forth today, Father God. Let it fall on good ground. Let them receive what thus said the Lord. Let them get an understanding on who they are, the purpose and the promises that you have made. Father God, in all that we do, Lord, we'll be also careful to give you all the honor, praise, and all the glory. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, people of God. Everyone have a great night. God bless.